Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, you are listening to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. We are excited about what God is doing right now and where we are going in this particular series. We are talking this month. This is March 2016. And this month's series is Your Keys to Wealth. Now, let me just go ahead and give you some disclosures or disclaimers. You're not going to get all of the keys all at one time. So that means you're going to have to come back on the 10th, on the 17th, on the 24th, and on the 31st. Because here's the deal. Since there are several different keys to your wealth, to you possessing wealth, to you having wealth, to you grabbing on to the wealth that's already stored up for you, you never know which key is going to come out on what show. So, Mama, I'm just telling them out there, straight up, you don't want to miss what we're going to be talking about and what God has to say during this whole month of March. And so with that, let me go ahead and introduce one of the other hosts of the show. We have several of us who host this PRF table, but we want to introduce the other host of the show, Mary Ann Williams, and around here at the table, when she takes a seat, we say Mama is in the building. So Mama, good evening. How are you doing?
I am doing just fine, thank you. And good evening to the PRF family. We're just going to have a good time tonight. Amen.
And although we're going to have a good time, let me just tell you, this is serious. This is really nothing to be playing with. And I can tell you, from my perspective as one of the hosts, here we go fooling with a subject that is out there at our fingertips that so many people seem not to have, not just mastered it, Mama, but haven't even tapped into what is there. Now, I was speaking at an event a couple of weeks ago up in Atlanta, Georgia. A group of entrepreneurs, 50, 60 in the room. And one of the questions that I asked was, how many of you want to be wealthy? Again, look at the audience, entrepreneurs, business individuals, men and women. Many of them raised their hand. Most of them raised their hand. And then I asked the next question. How many of you are already wealthy? I noticed that there was probably about 10 or 11 or 12 people that immediately raised their hand. Bam. Because it was already something already in their mind. But after that, then what happened was you had other people that kind of raised their hand like, oh, I kind of get it now. So that's the type of response that I'm just going to believe that you're going to get. You're going to receive the revelation of, oh, you know what? I am wealthy. And so if you're listening to the show, if you want to join into the conversation, all you have to do, if you're listening online, is dial 347-215-7934. And I promise you, we'll bring you into this conversation. We'll give you a seat at this table. And so let's go ahead and get started, Mama.
Yes.
Now, I've already said that there are several keys that are there. And one of the things about it, I want people to grab a hold to the keys. Grab a hold to the keys because they're there. These are, they're not hidden. That's the good thing about it. And because they're not hidden, that means they're available for us. Where are we basing the conversation? Where are we basing the dialogue at for this whole series? It comes out of one verse. One verse.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. If you were with us in our series last month in February, this verse came up several times. And you know, like I know, that when something comes up a lot, then that's an indication that we need to go ahead and pay attention to it, if you will. And so, Mama, I don't know if you're there, but if you're there,
yes,
would you mind reading the verse for us, please?
Okay, sure. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God.
Okay. Now, all I really wanted was verse 18. So
okay,
I want everybody to kind of try to strike 19 and 20 out your mind, because that's the end of the chapter. And you know how we do it at the PRF table. We don't start at the end. So let me read it to you out of the New Living Translation. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Now, I've heard that scripture quoted over and over and over again as a means to encourage the people that, look, the power is within you. You got it. You should be wealthy because the word of God says it. Now, here's what we have to understand. Just because they're written on the page doesn't mean that they're going to jump off the page and ring 100% true to everybody just because they read it. Just because I read it out of the book doesn't mean that it automatically is going to take effect and nothing else has to be done. Just because I read it does not mean in any way, shape, or form that God is just going to just do without us doing our part, especially when he's talked to us about doing our part. All right? So I want everybody to kind of, you know, remember where we're at when we're reading the Bible, when we're trying to take things from the Bible and make them applicable into our lives. Now, I have to set some groundwork or a framework for this. If you go to Matthew chapter 22, if you go to Luke chapter 10, those are the two places in the Bible where Jesus speaks specifically about the love ethic. Love ye one another, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you go to those scriptures, you also know that Jesus also says the greatest commandment, or the great commandment, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second, which is likened unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. So many times people get hung up on the love your neighbor as yourself part, Mama.
Yes.
And then they forget. Everything is wrapped up into that, but it doesn't do away with it. There's another scripture that Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law of Moses and of the prophets, but I came to fulfill the law. So he's fulfilling the law through love. If you keep that in mind, you won't have a problem with wealth. Listen, let me say it again. If you keep that in mind, you will not have a problem with wealth. Because there's some things that we have to sometimes go back to. And we can't just start in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and just get all excited and say, ooh, the Lord has given me power to be successful. Ooh, the Lord has given me the power to gain wealth. Ooh, the Lord has given me the ability to gain wealth. And think that there's nothing else that goes along with it. Let me tell you some. I don't even know if I want to tell you what we're going to. I'm not even going to bring out all of the keys tonight. I'm just going to focus on one thing, and that's covenants. If you go back to verse 18, and this is why you have to read, people. I'm serious.
Yeah.
He's the one who gives you power to be successful. But in the same verse, see, if somebody told me that and they said in verse 18a, then I know that there's 18b, right? But if you just say Deuteronomy 8:18 and you read half the verse, now you may have somebody messed up. Because the rest of that verse says, in order to fulfill the covenant, he conformed to your ancestors with an oath. Oh, so what do you mean, Brother Dunlap? You mean that God says he's giving you the power, and the reason he's given the power to make sure that he fulfills the covenant that he confirmed to your ancestors. We just dealt with Black History last month. We went back and talked about Black Wall Street, Greenwood Avenue. We talked about that. We dealt with it in so many different ways. We really were showing people, look, there's so much history that we have. Now, I'm going to say we being, because I'm black, y'all, those of you new to the PRF table, there's so much history that we have as black people in this country and even beyond. And so we have to be willing sometimes to embrace our history, because so many people are trying to get wealthy. So many people are trying to do wealth their way. And all I'm proposing, all that we're proposing here on the PRF table, is let's look and see what God has to say and how is God working within this thing of wealth. This series that we're doing this month, it comes from the Planning and Savings Are Your Next Door Neighbors series, or the lesson. Planning and Savings Are Your Next Door Neighbors. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, as we deal with these keys, you're going to see that you already have what you need to be wealthy. Like those people that I was speaking to in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, the light bulb is going to come on for some, and it may not come on for others right now. But here's the reality. Just because the light bulb doesn't come on for you, you can still be connected to somebody where the light bulb has come on for. So you still have the ability to get some of the residuals, if you will, even when you don't fully get it. And so my prayer is that those of you who are listening and those of you who are going to ride and die with us for this whole month is that as these keys come out, just grab a hold to them. Just grab a hold to them. I'll make this statement and I'll go to a caller. I believe we have a caller that is calling with the last four of 2638 that may have a comment or question. Let me throw this out there to you and let you marinate on this while they respond. Wealth, not riches, is right around the corner. Caller, last four of 2638, welcome to the PRF table.
I appreciate the welcome, my amazing brother. This is Camille. I just got off the show with you. I'm so happy to be a part of this conversation and dialogue. What is going on?
We're about to get it. We really have to press in because this is an hour-long show. And Camille, just tell them who you are. Tell them about your show since you're on here, and I just got off your show less than 5 minutes ago, so go ahead and put it out there because we work this thing together.
Yes, we do. We are transformational agents in this world, in each other's lives, and in just the work that we do in community. And so I'm Camille, of course, and JR and I go back into a doctorate program that we started together, and my brother finished, was it this year you graduated, and so, is it last year? It was last year you graduated, right, JR?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I'm still in the process with Spencer, JR, and I. We started the program together, and JR is leading us in finishing. And so we're doing the work of transformation, conflict transformation. My focus is narrative mediation within that framework of conflict transformation and working with women and girls in community and organizations and churches, really just challenging the narratives of poverty, and poverty not just of wealth, but poverty of mind, poverty of circumstance, and really, you know, hoping to kind of engage and bring some awareness to the cultural narratives of lack and oppression and folks that are disenfranchised and military men and women. I'm a veteran as well, just like JR, and so We are transformationalist cohorts doing this work with transformation in community and in each other's lives. And so I have a show on Thursday at 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio called Iconoclast Global. And just hit me up, come and listen out, and just be a part of the conversation. Everyone is invited and included. And I'm always looking for conversation from anyone just to come and introduce topics, just to, you know, create space for transformation in community. And so I'm just excited to be here. JR is a powerful transformationalist, and so you guys are truly blessed to have him.
Oh, you are just too kind. You're too kind. I'll slip you that $100 after we get off the air, Khalil.
Well, you know. You know, every little bit helps.
So here's the deal. I think it's helpful that when we're talking about wealth, because everybody has different opinions and understandings about poverty and riches and money, and everything is based upon people's culture and is based upon how they grew up, even if they're not in the same culture that they were. It depends on where their level of spirituality is. And so one of the things that we like to do here on the PRF table is we just like to start with simple definitions sometimes. So when you talk about rich, because there's a difference between being wealthy and being rich. To be rich means you just got a whole bunch of money, whole bunch of assets. And I know it's a fine line, but I'm going to show you that sometimes we have to take a position on where we are going to stand on one side or the other. So to be rich is nothing more than just having a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of assets. And, yeah, depending on the definition or the dictionary that you use, you may also see the word wealthy. But there's a difference. When you're rich, you have an abundance of a whole bunch of stuff. It has nothing to do with purpose. It just has everything to do with accumulation. That's it. If I hit the lottery today and I get $1 million, I am rich. If I hit it for $100,000 and I'm coming from a trailer park or I'm coming from the hood, I'm going to say, I'm rich. Let me look at it like this. Back in Philly when I was growing up, if mama would have hit the lotto for $10,000, little Nate would have been like, we rich, y'all. If mama would have took that money and moved us out of West Oak Lane and moved us up in the Northeast somewhere or across Cheltenham Avenue, oh, yeah, we'd have been saying we rich because we would have had more than a 6 by 3 foot piece of grass in the front to probably – you know, up to a half an acre. We'd have been rich. But when you start talking about wealth, the difference is wealth has those things in it. It has the abundance, but it has the state of mind, which is different. See, when you're wealthy, you have a different state of mind than you do when you're just rich. It's not just about the prosperity, but the prosperity is within there. You don't just have a bunch of stuff just to have a bunch of stuff. You have a bunch of stuff, and you're looking at who can I help? Who can I bless? Now, disclaimer, you can be rich and you can bless people. But we're talking about a whole different type of mindset when we're talking about wealthy. A whole different type of mindset. So, and again, I know that in conflict transformation is what we do. When we bring these things out, it's oftentimes where people have to grapple with it because they say, hold on, that's the same thing to me. Okay. Is it? Did Jesus have a problem with somebody who was wealthy, or did he have a problem with the rich young ruler?
The rich.
He had a problem with somebody who was rich. What was his mindset? Man, this is all my stuff. Sell all your stuff. Come follow me. Come on, man. You serious? You know what I did to get all this? And I say it like that because that's the mindset of a lot of people in some of our same cultures. You can't run the rat race trying to get rich and think that you're going to operate in a spiritual position of wealth. See, you don't have to have $100,000 to be wealthy. You don't have to have $1 million to be wealthy. You can be wealthy with $400 in the bank. It boggles the mind, Camille. It boggles the mind, Mama. I'm going to let people marinate on that. It does not make sense. But it doesn't supposed to make sense because it's spiritual.
Right. Well, wealth is a
everything
state of mind, right?
Yeah.
Say that again.
I said wealth is a state of mind. It's the kind of state of mind that God brings us into. It's an awareness of God's abundance that's all around us, you know, and being good stewards of that. It's being kind of responsible stewards of that. And so sometimes recognizing the abundance that God provides, it's about us recognizing that everything around us, everyone, really, we are blessed because we're operating in God's love. And so if we know that, then we're going to be good stewards. We're going to be responsible stewards. We're going to allow ourselves to be transformed and renew our minds, the Spirit says, because we are recognizing that we are swimming in God's abundance that's just surrounding us everywhere. And our responsibility is to be good stewards and loving each other, you know, sharing what we have, loving our neighbor. And I think that's part of the idea of what you're saying. If I'm incorrect, correct me. But that's what I'm hearing, is that there is this abundance that God surrounds us with, and we're called in to be good stewards. It's just for a moment. And so we can't hoard it. We can't kind of dominate it. We have to open ourselves up to that flow of God's love and God's abundance. But if we don't, if we feel like we don't have, we even lack, we're going to hold on to it. We're not going to want to share with our neighbor. We're not going to want to give to those that are in need. We're not going to want to be open because we're afraid that we're going to lose it, because our mind is on the material, the earthly, the kind of here and now, and not the abundance of God that surrounds us in every direction of our lives.
And one of the things that we're going to do and be intentional, you heard that word within the last hour, Camille. The things that we're going to do in this series is really be intentional about what has God laid out there for us so that we can get wealth. What is some things that he says? See, he doesn't have to say all the time, if you do this, then I'll do that. The Bible is not filled from Genesis to Revelation, you know, every other paragraph, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. That's not how the Bible is written. And that's not how God speaks today. So we have to be in the right connection to be able to say, okay, well, what is being said? And let me go to the phone line right now and bring, you mentioned this brother by the name of Spencer. This is Spencer Murray, my friend and my brother. So I just wanted to bring him into the conversation. I wanted to pull out his chair, if you will, and let him just sit down and push it back in so he can have a seat at this table. Spence, are you with us, my brother?
Man, I'm with you, man. Listen, I've been on the show since the beginning, man. But let me tell you, man, to hear you on fire, you've been on fire, brother. So I was like, let me press one at the right moment. Because I don't want to.
Y'all got me in that last, bro. That's all. Y'all got me primed.
Hey, man, no doubt, man. Let me say, man, I'm going to say this real quick, and I want you to get back to it, man. First of all, I love you, brother, and I know what you're doing and what you're saying right now is so profound, and what Camille just said. I mean, I think that is the best lesson, that we're not to go get anything. And we talked about the rich ruler. We're not to get anything, but when you embrace God, I think you said it earlier. I think you said it earlier that we have everything we need, so we're not going to get anything.
Yes.
But once we realize that we are wealth, which has nothing to do with money, like you said, if you have 400, but when you realize that you are that, you know, by embracing God and embracing that, and not just what you were just saying, not if you do this, I'll do this. God is not I think sometimes we put human qualities on God, you know, as if he's a, you know, just another person who, you know, who's, if you do this, I'll do this. You know, we kind of make him into our image instead of the other way around. And so, but when we are, I mean, that means you are wealth, and wealth, you will attract wealth when you get to where you're trying to get people to go, JR. I believe that's what I hear you saying. And it's just so good, man. I was just saying the same thing last hour. If someone hits the Mega Millions or hits whatever, and how many times have you heard this, that people have done that, and then years later, because they still had a rich consciousness instead of a wealthy consciousness, they lost that, and that money was gone. So yeah, man. So I just commend you, and I think it's a huge thing what you're doing, and you know, and I think people just attract that when they embrace the statutes and the principles that you're putting forth.
Amen, my brother. Amen. Yeah. So let me hit it for those who were here. One of the things that I said was, when you're dealing with the love ethic, when you're dealing with love your neighbor as yourself, when you're dealing with love ye one another, you can't take that all by itself as if what Jesus also said was, which is equally important, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Ah, you can't just separate them. And I think that's one of the fallacies of, not of Christianity, but what some people have painted as Christianity, because a lot of times people don't want to deal with it. First of all, let me just scratch it. Ain't no such thing as the Old Testament. That's what man did. God ain't do that. God just had people write. You can put that in
right.
place. But I'm, you know, no but, doubt. Because I'm challenging folks. I'm going to go ahead and say Old Testament so people know where to go in the book. All right, so
yeah.
I really want people to open their books tonight, their Bible, their Word. Go online, iPhones, whatever. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8 says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. He is the one that gives you the power to be wealthy. He's the one that gives you the ability to gain wealth. All those different translations. In order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Now, if I'm going to deal with that, if that's what is truly, truly, truly what the Word says, then there's no debating that. So I know for a fact that that's what God said, so I can run with that. I can do what people say. I can take that one to the bank. So there's no debating it, nothing. Now, if you don't have an understanding about the covenant, how are you going to walk in something without understanding why you're walking in it? If I'm too deep, look, somebody please form a coat to me. If the whole purpose, if he says he's the one who gives you the power to be successful, why would he give you the power to do something and you not take advantage of it? God is giving you the ability to go to work every day, young brother, young sister. Why would you not go to work? He's giving you the ability to get to work on time by waking you up a whole hour and it only takes you 20 minutes to get to work. Why would you not be on time? So there's something inside of us. We have so many things already that he's given us, and so many people are not successful. And so since they're not successful, we see a lot of the dangers of society that continue to go on and on and on. And so we don't want to see those things. We want to mitigate some of those circumstances. Now.
Yeah. Wow. That's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's important, Spence. It's real important for people to understand a little bit about Deuteronomy. See, you gotta understand a little bit about the backdrop of the story.
Exactly.
See, what Jesus was going through when he was on his earthly ministry, because folks understood what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
The old, what we call, they understood that, and that was their culture. So how the heck you going to really understand what Jesus was talking about when you are clueless about the culture?
Right.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it kind of reminds me what...
Go ahead, Camille, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just saying it kind of reminded me of what you had said earlier, though, that there's a part of it that's about learning and acquiring new knowledge. And, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, maybe some of what framework needs to be kind of framed around trans, even though we don't say it, maybe we need to have a more vocal discussion about what it means, you know, to be open and humble and submit. Because I think sometimes that idea it seems, you know, people who are coming out of oppressive situations or difficult situations, it's hard to kind of wrap yourself around this idea of surrendering or submitting, you know, and allowing yourself to be, you know, the wave of God to wash over you. And so maybe part of, as I'm hearing you talk, you know, maybe part of it, you know, JR, is that it's about not knowing, you know, what does it look like to allow yourself to kind of be saturated in the flow of God's love and spirit so that abundance could kind of just open up to you, because it's not something you have to go for. It's not like it's not something you got to go and get. It's something that you're actually swimming in. You know, it's something that you're walking in. It's something that you're breathing, like the breath of God, the Ruach. You know, that's the breath of God. That's the spirit. We don't go look for breathing. We don't go search for breathing. It's kind of like we're just breathing. And so part of the idea is to maybe surrender to that, but it's a concept that's very, you know, maybe it's not as, maybe there needs to be more discussion about what it means to kind of surrender to that breath and allow yourself to be taken up into that love and that abundance, because it really is not something you have to work to get or, you understand, educate yourself to get. Or I think those are narratives that we've created in culture, society, and our own way of living in the world, but it's a very radical shift, you know, that you really need to open yourself up to the spirit and the love and the abundance. And so maybe that's part of it, you know, is this idea of being humbled or surrendering or because it's really something that just washes over you.
And what I also hear hear you saying, JR, as I'm thinking personally about myself, and I'm thinking about this wealth versus rich thing. I feel wealthy, man. I feel wealthy, and I have to say this, man. I wake up with the desire to be righteous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I read this quote the other day. It says, "People know the cost of everything, but the value of nothing."
Nothing.
You know? So we know the cost of stuff.
Yes.
But the value of for me, the value of wanting to be God-like, you know, want the value of being righteous, my wealth. And so, you know, that's what I, well, for me anyway, that's what I hear you saying too, is that when you're talking about love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and then love the, that the first part says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind. You know what I mean? That means to wake up like a deer. What does that scripture say, JR? Like a deer pound of water.
Panting. Yeah. Come on now.
To wake up, to want to be, to desire to be righteous and be God-like in all thy ways. The actions, the behaviors, your speech, you know what I mean? And you know, embraced and enveloped in love in that, man. And so, that's different. That's different, JR. That's totally
it's
totally
powerful,
different than just rich.
Yes.
You know.
JR, thank you so much for this invitation. I love you guys so much, and I'm just so encouraged and inspired by what you are doing. And I have to leave and get off the show right now, but I want to send you much love. Much love and comfort and support and inspiration as God just continues to mold you, as the universe calls you into greater things in terms of empowering communities. And I just, you guys just excite me so much. And so I'm happy that you're my brother and my friend and my colleague.
Thank you.
Beautiful and wonderful night. Thank you very much.
Good night, Camille. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So, excuse me. I know we got Mama still on the line, and Mama, you are feel free to jump in whenever. So I'm just I'm just going to run with it. I'm going to run. We got half an hour left in the show. I'm going to run with it. Now, let me give you a little history about Deuteronomy. This whole book of Deuteronomy, first and foremost, Deuteronomy is addressed to a new generation, a new generation of people that's going to possess the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's who it's addressed to. It's addressed to those 40 people who survived the wilderness. Oh, my goodness. Come on, y'all. It ain't for everybody. Spence.
Come on, man. That's what my teaching has taught me. Yeah. That's what I have uncovered the same. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
We're dialoguing, bro. This dialogue that we're having this month is not for everybody. So one thing that we're not going to do, we ain't debating nothing.
No.
If you do not believe what God's word says, if you can't see it from your spiritual eyes, then all you need to do, those of you who are listening, connect to somebody who is able to see it. The reality is, if you was walking down the street, matter of fact, I'll use one of Shatara Sherwood's, one of the other hosts of the PRF table. I'll use one of her examples. If you was walking that 30 miles from where you work to where you live, and it's below freezing, and somebody comes and you see the headlights on the car coming your direction or coming from behind you, meaning they're going towards where you're trying to get to, if you don't wave your arm, if you don't kind of try to get in the way so they can kind of see you, not so that you can get hit, but, hey, you know, they may not be paying attention. If you don't do that and they go ahead and ride on by and then you die in the freezing cold, it's nobody's fault but yours. So listen to what I'm saying. When God spoke through Moses in Deuteronomy, he wasn't speaking to everybody. He wasn't speaking to all of the people. He was speaking specifically to the new generation. And I love how one of the commentators said, the new generation, Spence, who was destined for the promised land. Mm-hmm. So if you don't believe the promised land is your destiny, ain't nothing I can do about that. See,
right.
I only got so much gas in my car, right? I know how far the next gas station is. So I can't sit there arguing with you talking about, look, bro, get in the car. It's cold outside. Look, bro, get in the car. It's cold outside. Look, bro, it's cold out here. Get in the car. It's cold outside. Look, bro, all the heat from the inside of the car now is on the outside because I got the window down telling you to get in the car. Eventually, my finger's going to get numb. Eventually, my feet going to get numb. Eventually, the gas is going to start running out. And now you got two dead jokers instead of one. So we can't have it. Now, if God can take that position with you, if he took that with his chosen people to speak to those who are destined and not destined, come on. We have to go for it. We have to go straight, full steam ahead, not to leave anybody behind. But he says he's given them the power to get wealth. So that means they have to make a choice if they want to be wealthy or not. God ain't going to force wealth on nobody. Another key thing about Deuteronomy is, because, and I have to say these type of things from an educational perspective, Spence, Mama, because some people don't want to deal with this Old Testament. Deuteronomy is cited more than 80 times in the New Testament. It's 27 books in the New Testament. Deuteronomy is cited 80 times, or at least more than 80 times, in 17 of those 27 books. So, if that be the case, evidently there's something important going on in Deuteronomy. It's even so important that Jesus mentioned it about loving the Lord your God out of all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, which came out of Deuteronomy, I believe chapter 6, verse 5. So why would I not want to get a better understanding of how to walk out this love ethic that Jesus said, going back and looking at what he didn't say, no, you don't need that no more. Nah, everything hinges on these two things, he says. I believe in Matthew or Mark.
Right.
Another key important thing to remember about Deuteronomy. When he was talking to them, it's only dealing with a one-month period. That's it, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't talking to mama and them, and big mama, and the elders. Right. He was not talking to his people for no 5 years. You know why? Because there's stuff that you got to do. I'm trying to take you to a place. I need you to be prepared so whenever you get, and that's the whole message. Whenever he allowed them to get into the place, into that promised land, it was necessary that they had the tools, or let me say it like this, they had the keys to succeed. And I love how God took the ability, took his own liberty to say, you know what, let me teach these cats. Let me teach them when they get in there. Because if I don't teach them when they get it, before they get in there, when they get all this wealth, when they the head and not the tail, when they above and not beneath, oh, Lord, I hate that one getting taken out of context. But when they are in that position, then they know how to operate. That's why you can't give somebody $100,000 that can't even manage $25 and think they're going to do right by it. So God ain't in the business, y'all, of setting folks up for failure when it comes to wealth. He has a plan. God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
The whole key to Deuteronomy was all about the renewing of the covenant. I don't think it's the most complicated thing to grasp. My thing is, grasp it now. If we grasp it right now, we have so much more of an ability to put ourselves into a much better position than we are, to deal with some of the challenges that we dealt with last month talking about wealth and why some folks have it and other folks don't. So, Spence, Mama, I think we got to kind of understand the difference between being rich and being wealthy. I think we understand how important invalidating and liberating the book of Deuteronomy is to this whole notion of getting wealth, because God said it. He told Moses to tell the people, it's the Lord who gave you the power to get it.
Right.
So I have to look at it like this. Well, I'm going to throw this other one in here. It wasn't something I planned, but I think I remember it earlier today. The promised land, which is Canaan. Canaan means the land of purple. Those of us who are believers, we understand that purple has a significance with Christ. Purple signifies royalty. In the Old Testament, you had the Israelites that God took them out of bondage, provided for them along the way while they were in the wilderness, and then gave them some specific instructions so that they can operate in the place he was going to give them that he swore not to them, but he swore to their ancestors. I think about stuff like this all the time, Spence. I wonder what God told my mama back in the day. I wonder what he told my grandfather, Marshall Dunlap, about how great the Dunlap men was going to be.
Right.
70, 80. I wonder what he spoke to them that didn't get passed down to me.
Right.
I wonder how much wealth my ancestors had in the Dunlap line of the family that somehow got shortchanged because they weren't smart enough or they were not able to combat some of the ignorances and some of the racism and some of the other things that people get involved in, especially back way beyond the 60s.
Yeah.
And so now I have to say, man, you know what? We probably got shortchanged.
Yeah.
But you know what? Although we may have gotten shortchanged, now I'm in a whole different place. I have received Christ. And so since I received Christ, now I am in a royal heirhood, or I'm connected with the most royal heir known to man. So since I'm connected to that, I understand my peoples may have gotten shortchanged back 100 years ago, 80 years ago, but now I have the ability, because I'm educated, not smart from going to seminary, but because the Spirit of God has now said to me, hold on, go back to this book and see, because there's some things that I'll kind of put in place to say, hey, look, if you do these things, then maybe things going to be a little bit better for you than if you didn't do them.
Right. And you,
so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, comment on something you said, to be in line with that, to be an heir or in the line of that royal priesthood, that you don't even need a bunch of degrees, brother. You know what I mean? People don't need a bunch of education. You know, sometimes, you know, education can keep people in that rich country. You know, all that education can keep people in that other, you know, that rich consciousness, you know, that, you know, and you can, you know, you've heard of educated fools before, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, to be in that is the greatest knowledge. Is the greatest knowledge to mean that you are heir to that wealth and have the power. Have the power. And so I see, I just see what you're doing to use this conflict transformation to help people to see or to transform them into embracing that, embracing that and becoming that, and that's where it's at. Because if you know, when you're not there, then it's easy to say, you know, I don't have wealth, because, you know, I don't have wealth. And even though, JR, and when you talk about history, certainly there was wealth passed down in generations with other people, you know, who enslaved and did all those things, you know. And, you know, there's that quote by a long time by Marcus Garvey: if someone starts ahead in the wealth game, it's hard for you to catch up if you ever catch up. But I'm not trying to run the race to catch up with anybody, you know. But when you make that choice and that decision, then you, from that day, you have the power to attain wealth. Period. Yeah, you have the power to attain wealth, period. And, you know, and it's not the number of zeros in your bank account.
That's right.
Because it's been, you know, it's been a lot of rich people who didn't have anything on the inside. You know what I mean? They didn't have that internal wealth, man. And so, and some people died just like that, man. So yeah, no, I feel you, brother. I'm with you. I'm with you, man. And see, this is the deep thing you're talking about. You're not just talking. You're not just talking about money. You're talking about the
wealth,
power, to obtain wealth.
Yeah, that's it. See, yeah. I know when some people saw the title for this month series, "Your Keys to Wealth," big bold letters on the flyer.
Yeah.
Man, that may attract people. But what's going to keep them is the Spirit of God. What's going to keep people coming week after week after week during this month is the Spirit of God. And not only that, but also their desire to get wealth. Because it's going to be out there. And I promise you, I thought about this. I said, man, it's some powerful keys to getting wealth that God has shown me to give to the people. I think I said earlier, I said, well, you know what? You know, this is the month series for March. Oh, it may go a couple other weeks. But I'm convicted after something that I just read or just brought back to my remembrance that I brought to you, that God spoke to them during a month-long period. So the reality is, this series may not ever come out unless you're sitting physically inside of a Planning and Savings or Next-Door Neighbors.
Yeah.
It may not come, you don't know, because there's other things that God is trying to show. So if he now shows you the ability and gives you the keys to how to get wealth, and now you got to capitalize on that.
Yeah. In your teaching, let me ask, can I ask you something, JR? In your teaching that you go around, and I know you've been doing it for a while, do you find yourself having to, you know, not convince, I'll just use this word for lack of a better word, I find it right now, but convince people that directive to get wealth, that is for everybody and not just for certain people?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you find yourself doing that? Yeah.
Let me say, it really depends on the environment that I'm in. So, for example,
okay.
if I'm in a community center,
right,
it may be hard for some people to grasp the things that I said about Christ.
Yeah.
So what I have to do is start where they are. Let me just say, look, you believe in God, raise your hand. Okay.
Right.
Let me tell you what God has said. God said
right.
that he's giving you the power to get wealth. See, I can't start sometimes at the Christological point of view.
No question.
I got to start where they at.
Exactly.
And that's what God did. He started where
exactly.
they were at. The
yes.
reality is, he didn't talk about certain things that may have been harder for them to understand or to grapple with. So
right.
he dealt with what he needed to deal with in the beginning.
Right.
And so take it into this perspective. When we're looking at, again, because I'm hammering down Deuteronomy 8:18, not just the beginning, the A part of it, but the A and the B. It's about
yeah.
the covenant. In order to fulfill the covenant, he confirmed the ancestors. If you read that and you don't even say, well, what did he confirm with my ancestors? If you don't even ask that question,
right,
you'll probably wind up being rich, but you'll never be wealthy.
Right.
Because the purpose that's involved with wealth will never be understood. You won't have the revelation. You can't receive that.
Right.
This thing is about community. It's about God. It's about what God has established and what he's trying to fulfill in our lives. So if we get on board with the reason why he's given us the power to be successful, the reason why he's given us the ability to produce wealth, if we
yeah.
get on board with that, then now we have more of an ability to say, God, remember your covenant. Should I, because I'm now a new creature in Christ, just forget about the covenant that you made years ago? And
yeah.
here I am sitting even in the projects. Here I am living in a trailer park. Here I am living in poverty. Here I am spiritually bankrupt, being rich. No. Come on, man. That ain't the type of, look, that ain't the type of God that I'm trying to say.
No question, man. And you know what's so important, JR, what you keep saying is Christ. You know, see, what changes this whole thing is being in Christ. Because if in Christ that there's no more male, female, there's no more this and that, there's no more Jew or Gentile, there's no more black and white, there's, you know, there's no more, if in Christ, then those
mm-hmm.
promises are for you as well. You know, it's for you as well. And, you know, sometimes in doing what we do, like when you go speak and when I do what I do, and even though they're in two different, well, you know, we got the same principles. We're working in two different areas.
Right.
But many times I have to take people, and I also have to take myself. Let me be transparent. I also have to take myself beyond it. I have to take people and take myself beyond just my identity as an African-American or being black. You understand what I'm saying? I take myself, and I know you already know. I keep saying, do you understand? I know you already know. So
I'm learning.
I'm talking to whoever's listening. I take myself beyond that, because in Christ there's no more of those divisions and separations. We are all one in Christ. So when I take my, but if I identify, if I solely identify myself as African American or black, then there are a lot of people who believe that, okay, I'm not worthy of those promises. You know what I mean? Or
yeah,
those promises weren't made for me. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, it's a deep thing, man. It's just a deep thing, and I'm just affirming what you're doing. But, you know, I always look at it from what I do, because I do it too, but I also do it, you know, we come from two different, no, not two different perspectives. It's spiritual. You're coming from a spiritual perspective. Is that that wealth is for you too, my brother. Wealth is for you too, my sister. And no matter, you know, no matter whether people are talking about Deuteronomy or whether they're talking about the Constitution of the United States, because people can say a lot of times, well, you know, when the Constitution was written, you know, as an African American or as an African, it didn't have you in mind, you know, consider you free. But when you go beyond the men who did that, and you get to God, or you think the promises of Christ or God, then you have to conclude that this is for everybody, that wealth is for everybody, justice is for everybody, love is for everybody, you know. And so it's just a good thing, man. It's a great thing, JR. It's a great thing, bro.
Watch this. So we understand now that covenant is about the purpose is about covenant, or covenant is about the purpose. We have to understand a little bit about the covenant, which means we have to understand a little bit about our history, which means our history can't start when we was born back in the 60s when we didn't have civil rights.
No question.
Can't start back in the 1920s when the KKK and white folk, you know, I had to say both because not everybody was a KKK member, of the burning down of Black Wall Street.
Right.
It doesn't start there. Let's go back. And I think I told, I don't know if I said it last week on the show or 2 weeks ago, but I know I was preaching on Sunday, and I said, look, black people, I was at a church where they were all black. I said, your history goes beyond what we could traditionally keep hearing going on with black history.
No question.
It goes back to Genesis when God said He made mankind in His image, after their likeness. And so I'm connected to God because He created me, and He put some things in place to help me, and He put some things in place for me to get well. And if I'm a new creature in Christ, why the heck are we going through some of the stuff that we go through in our country? Oh, so here we go with this one. Well, the poor will be with you always. So who is he talking about? Let's not deal. Come on. We have to be everywhere. We must be smarter than that as believers. And so I'm gonna try to give what I know to be another one of the keys. And Brother Spence, if you have to go, brother, it's cool. But I just can't go.
I told her, you know, my wife works out of town. I only see her on the weekends. And
okay.
I told her I'd call her at 9 after the show. So I'll call her. I got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to start something that I can't even finish. Well, maybe I will. When we read Deuteronomy 8:18, what I want people to understand is that wasn't the beginning of the conversation. That was towards the end of the conversation, or at least the end of the quotes, if you will. There's only 20 verses in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. So if you start off and you read something and you hold on to something as the 18th verse, you have to know there was more to the conversation. God was preparing his people. So since he was preparing his people, we have to say, okay, well, what else was he talking about? Verse 1 in chapter 8 says, and we're not focusing on the obedience piece. What we're going to focus on is one word. Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Commands. He talks about, when you read down through the rest of the verses, he talks about how he taught them how not to live by just bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Verse 6, he says, so obey the commands of the Lord, your God, by walking in his ways and fearing him. Verse 11, this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you don't forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. What I continue to see, and this is just in the eighth verse, I mean in the eighth chapter, is that he's talking about, I've given you some commands, there's some things that I want you to follow. So again, it goes back to the same thing about who are your ancestors. Okay, he keeps talking about these commands, but what commands was he talking about? So now what you have to do is you got to keep going back a little bit farther. How about go back to the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy? Hold on, the sixth chapter? Yep, something's got to be significant about that sixth chapter. One of the things that he said in the sixth chapter, in the fifth verse, is the same thing that Christ said in the New Testament when he connected those two with all of these hinge on everything. Love the Lord your God, right? And then love your neighbor. So verse 5 in chapter 6, it says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. So if the word and is there, then that means there's something else that you got to do that came before it. And then if you really just take a quick second and you look at verse 6, it says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to what? These commands that I am giving you today. So there's something going on with the commands. But if we never have an understanding about what are the commands, how can we follow them? So if your wealth has something to do with following the commands of God, but you have no idea what the commands actually are, what are you doing? You're spinning your wheels. And so all I'm proposing, bro, and I know you have to go, brother, and we love you, bro, so whenever you got to go, bro, just...
Oh, man, much love to you, man. Much love to you, man. I'll talk to you this week, bro, good brother. You know what I'll be doing.
Got to get it, bro. Get it. It's almost done. It's almost
goodbye
done.
Goodbye to your mom, man. Much love to y'all.
All right, bro.
Okay.
So, mama, if we're not going to follow the commands, if we're just not going to follow the command, then how can we actually do, one, first of all, what Christ said to do if we don't have any idea what the commands are talking about?
Right.
I sometimes what we have to do is work backwards. Because if we don't work backwards, we never get to uncover why people, for example, think and believe the way that they think and they believe. So I'll even go back and say, let's go back to the first verse in chapter 6. Now, here's what God says. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. So if we're talking about wealth, there's some things that we know are connected to wealth. It has something to do with the covenant, because you can't be in a land flowing with milk and honey as God's chosen people who he swore to give to their ancestors, and it's a place of poverty.
Yes, that's right.
But when you get there, there's not going to be just the commands, because he gave them the commands already, but it's not just the commands that you have to follow. But there's some decrees and some regulations. So there's some other things that we just have to follow along with. And if we're willing to follow along with those things as we continue to go on and further in this particular series, there is no way in the world that people should not walk away from this whole conversation, this all of this dialogue, saying, you know what? God has better for me.
Yes.
I'm in covenant relationship with Christ for the believer. I'm in covenant relationship with Christ. This is not what Christ, I don't know about other folks, but this ain't what Christ died for me to live like this. Mm. If people are living in that quote unquote, that this ain't what he died for. Jesus made it really clear in the book of John, I've come to give life and give life more abundantly. And I say it over and over and over until I'm blue in the face, that living life more abundantly is not just the eternal life, but is also life down here on earth. And why can I say that? Because God has promised, has said that he's given us the power to be wealthy. He's given us the power to be successful. He's given us the ability to gain wealth. So all we, and I say this, all we have to do is walk in it. And let's even go, and I'm going to pick up in this area when we come back in on next week. Okay, so even in chapter 6, right, verse 5, look, this is what I need you to do. This is what you got to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to the commands that I'm giving you today. Well, again, this is part of a larger conversation. Well, guess what? There are some commands that God gave. And he was going to also, in this time of conversing with them through Moses, a reminder, because they were reminding, God was telling, look, you need to remind them about what I said. You know what makes it even more interesting, Mama?
Yes, I'm listening.
You go back to chapter 5. And do you know what's in chapter 5? The Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Hold on. That's not Exodus? Yeah, it is in Exodus. But it's also in Deuteronomy 5. Hold on. Why is it? Because God says, look, sometimes I need to remind you. Look, I'm trying to set you up. I'm taking you to a place flowing with a land flowing with milk and honey. I want you to do some things so that when you cross over, when you possess it, you're going to have good life.
Yes.
But I got to kind of put some things back into your remembrance that I said long ago. See, you wasn't there. A lot of y'all wasn't there when I said it the first time. So let me go ahead and just, you know, remind some of y'all, because if you also noticed or remember, they did a lot of complaining in the wilderness. Over and over and over and over again. And God was a little bit tired. Eventually, he got tired. And as he gets tired, he said, okay, well, let me tell you. I'm going to tell y'all what's going to happen. All y'all who y'all just keep on complaining. Y'all making my ears hurt now. Well, I tell you what. Since y'all ungrateful, since y'all seem to forget that you used not to be able to vote 50-something years ago. You used not to be able to do that. But now you have, and you just don't. Since you've forgotten about sacrifices that other people have made for you, can you think about the children of Israel? People grew up in the wilderness. That means they grew up. That means people had to carry them. It was not a perfect time. It wasn't like they all had an opportunity to say, okay, look, we're going to stop making babies. And we want everybody to be about 12 years old because on this particular day, Pharaoh's going to let us go. So we want everybody to be able to hold their own and be like 16 years old so they can, nah. Look, Pharaoh said, look, y'all get up out of here. Take y'all stuff. He sent them away with wealth. That's a whole nother lesson. He sent them away from bondage with wealth. It's the same with us. Person doesn't file for bankruptcy. Okay, you don't have certain things who have filed bankruptcy. But what are you walking away with? you're more wealthy than some other folks because you don't have to pay some of those debts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least if you do a chapter 7, you don't. But if you do a 13, you don't have to pay all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have some breathing room. So when we talk about wealth, y'all, we're talking about the mindset. We're talking about the mindset more so than anything. But I love the fact that, again, these commandments, and I'm going to just mention the first one before we shut down for the night, Mama.
Okay.
You probably can tell us what's the first commandment.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And trust him. Oh, no, what? Yes.
The first commandment and, is you should not have the other God before me.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So if we're going to talk about, if we're talking about wealth, right, if that's what we're talking about, mm-hmm. and commands, if the commands of God is important and has something to do with our wealth. Because, again, the wealth that the people had, they were taking it with them to the place he was trying to take them to, which is going to make them be even more wealthier. So that means you can't put anything before God. And some folks, if they think about just that first one, you should not have any other gods before me? Okay. That means working, not obeying the Sabbath. Uh-oh, that's another one? Is that one of the commandments? I think one of the commandments say observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy. That means you're supposed to rest? Yeah, because I do believe that God worked for 6 days and then he rested on the seventh. Then he wants us to do the same thing. So there's these commands that he's put in these first 10 commandments that if we were to follow what he has already established, when it comes to the harder things that we'll get to later, like tithing in Deuteronomy 14, oh, you should be able to do that because you got a framework of where I'm going when I put these other things in place. Oh, my goodness. Mama, you must not have any other gods before me. So the question for some folks are, what is it that you're making your God? We ain't talking about religion. We're talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard. I promise you, people, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be tiresome. When you put other things before God and then talk and then want and then have an expectation that God is going to give you wealth. Why would God give you wealth when you have other things that you put before him?
True, that's right.
Why? God can do what he wants to do. However, why would he do that? Especially when he says over and over and over in this book of Deuteronomy, obey these commands I've given you today. Obey these decrees, these statutes, these judgments, and these ordinances as I'm giving you today. These are the commandments that the Lord has given for future, for all future generations. If that's what the book says, then when did generations stop with us? Not only is it crazy, it's illogical. And it's sure, it surely is not biblical. So this is where we at, Mama.
Yeah.
This is where we're going. I think I'm going to start next week with the commandments so that we can start moving our way up because we can't get to certain places unless we deal with what's already established. And we have to deal with the commandments. Oh, yeah. We going to hit them, y'all. I think there's one that says, thou shalt not steal. See, y'all trying to get me to keep going. I'm trying to get off the air. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, you want to be wealthy? Let me tell you the difference between wealthy and rich. Rich people cheat on their taxes so they can get a refund. Wealthy folks don't do that. And we're not talking about the ones that put kids on their taxes and claim kids. See, Wesley Snipes was rich. He wasn't wealthy. Other people who are millionaires and rich and in the public spotlight, you'll see the ones who are rich and the ones that are wealthy by based upon what they do with all of their riches. Mama, you have anything that you want to say? We got, go ahead, Mama. We got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. The greatest God says, for us to desire the greatest gift, and that is love. And with love, to me, it's a development. It's a process, because you can have, you could be rich or wealthy, either one. But he says the greatest commandment is love. And the greatest commandment is love. It's a lot of ingredients here. I'll read it really fast. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believe all things, hopes all things, and endure all things. Love never fails. I'm stopping there.
Okay.
This is a process here, and so the greatest gift is love, to love, and so I have to examine myself because I will have to examine myself here, right here, and find out where I am, and it's going to take a process, but see, God will come in and help me with my process, and so. If I'm designed the greatest gift of all, I'm going to want to give. You know, I'm not going to want to just have stuff. I want to be wealthy. You know, I want to feed the poor. I want to do all these things. I want to be kind. I want to. You know, and
okay.
Then God lives inside of us so we can do this. Amen.
Amen, amen. So for those of you who have been listening, we've been talking from the beginning of our series, the introduction of our series, Your Keys to Wealth. We're going to be here all month, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/PRFPRF, or visit us on our website, which is PRF Ministry, PRFMinistry.org. Let's get some conversation going on the Facebook page. Look for the new flyer for next week to be put up probably about Monday or Tuesday. I may give you a little preview about what we're going to be talking about. But with that, we thank you for your time. We thank you for your attention. Tell somebody else about what's going on here at the PRF table. So on behalf of all of us here at the PRF table, myself, Starr Sherwood, Adia Sanders, Warren Feaster, Mama Mary Ann Williams, God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful evening. Peace.